Hello, this is Ryan. Welcome to this edition of the Didcot Abingdon and Wantage Talking newspaper Dawn, recorded on Wednesday, the 9th of September, 2026. You'll hear a number of news items from the Herald series, and if you're listening from a memory stick, you'll also be able to listen to extra items from the RNIB magazine service. I'm the editor this week, and our readers are Irene, Veronica, Tony, and myself. The recording technicians are John and Clive, and in the back office we have Sue. We start this week with an item about the recent completion of a 1.1 million refurbishment of the Abingdon Community Hospital.
Hello, this is Irene. The hospital celebrating arrival of its upgrade. Staff at Abingdon Community Hospital, which runs the Minor Injuries Unit and other services, has welcomed a 1.1 million refurbishment from NHS England. The upgrade, which started earlier this year at the hospital's Emergency Multidisciplinary Unit, EMU, has now been completed. The improvements have modernised the unit, which provides rapid assessment, diagnosis and treatment as an alternative to acute hospital admission. This helps to reduce pressure on the busy A&E department at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. The community hospital in Marcham Road offers various services, including rehabilitation and palliative care. It also supports patients with a minor injuries unit, a stroke rehabilitation unit, and a range of outpatient services such as rheumatology, cardiology, paediatric and orthopaedics. The hospital is staffed by a team of nurses, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, and is supported by a team specialising in care for the elderly. Abingdon North County Councillor Nathan Lay visited the hospital with Emma Lever, Chief Operating Officer at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust. He said the Emergency Multidisciplinary Unit has just had a 1.1 refurbishment through the NHS England. It's the bit of the hospital a lot of people don't know about. You can't walk in, you're referred by your GP, a community team or the ambulance service, and the point is to get you assessed and treated the same day so you don't end up admitted overnight at the JR. The work has improved access and clinical space, plus a new airflow system, roof repairs and a better canopy for getting patients across to the X-ray. The team kept the unit running throughout the refurb from a temporary ward, which is no small thing. I also got round to the rest of the site, which does far more than most people realise. The Oxfordshire Stroke Rehabilitation Unit is based here and is preparatory alongside the Minor Injuries Unit, X-ray and the wards and much more besides. Oxford Health Director for Partnerships and Neighbourhood Healthcare, Sue Butt, said, "The refurbishment unit is a fantastic example of how investment in local NHS services can directly improve the experience of patients and carers. By creating a more modern, accessible and spacious environment, we can assess the treat and treat more people closer to home and help avoid unnecessary hospital admissions." Sarah Goldsack, Director of Performance for NHS England South East, said, "Refurbishing Abingdon's Emergency Multidisciplinary Unit is a fantastic example of how investment in modern, high-quality facilities is helping us deliver better care for patients closer to home. This upgrade unit will mean a more comfortable environment, faster assessments and a smoother experience for people who need urgent same-day care."
Hello, this is Tony. Tech Hub is planned for former Esso site. Long vacant land could soon be transformed into a clean technology employment hub under new regeneration plans, developers have revealed. As already reported, XLB Property has put forward plans to redevelop the former Esso Research Centre in Milton Hill, Steventon, into a modern industrial and research campus. The proposed site would house businesses focused on light industrial work, research and development, and clean technologies. XLB Property has begun the formal pre-application process by submitting a request for an environmental impact assessment, that's an EIA, screening opinion, to Vale of Whitehorse District Council. A spokesman at XLB Property said, "Milton Hill represents exactly the kind of brownfield opportunity that should be at the heart of a responsible planning system. This is a site with a strong employment history that has sat vacant for many years. Our ambition is to bring it back into productive use with a thoughtful, sustainable scheme. We want people to see what we're proposing and to tell us what they think before anything is finalised. The feedback we receive will inform the final proposals." Representatives for XLB Property say that Esso has no involvement in the scheme and that reference to Esso being the applicant in planning documents is a contractual necessity and nothing more. Esso have no involvement whatsoever in the design, planning or development of the site, the representative said. The plans represent a shift from earlier ideas focused on logistics, instead aiming to support higher value employment and attract knowledge-intensive businesses. XLB Property is targeting BREEAM Excellent accreditation and an EPC A rating for the development, reflecting a commitment to net zero ready, future-proofed employment space. The design will cater to a variety of business sizes and needs and will include sustainability features such as roof-mounted solar panels, green roofs, and permeable paving. Other proposed elements include rain gardens, electric vehicle charging points, extensive cycle parking, and ecological enhancements such as bird and bat boxes. The scheme also calls for retaining and strengthening existing tree belts and woodland, as well as creating a new amenity trail along the northern boundary to connect with public footpaths. XLB Property plans to hold a public exhibition later this year to share detailed proposals, answer questions, and gather feedback from people. The event will take place at a nearby venue, with details to be announced in due course. Councillors, the Parish Council, Cabinet members at Vale of Whitehorse District Council, and community groups are being contacted directly to offer private briefings ahead of the public exhibition. The former Esso Research Centre has been vacant for many years.
Hello, this is Veronica. Concerns over return of foul smell at landfill site. Concerns have been raised over the return of a foul smell at Sutton Courtenay landfill site. MP for Didcot and Wantage, Ollie Glover, wrote to the management company of the landfill site between Appleford and Sutton Courtenay after a very significant increase in complaints from locals about the odour coming from the facility. It comes just 2 years after the smell coming from the FCC environmental landfill sparked an investigation following 130 complaints and the Environment Agency classifying it as a significant odour incident. In his letter to the company, Mr. Glover said, "The smell has been noticeable for many weeks now, and as you will know, this is not a new issue. At the time, residents were assured that measures were being taken to address the problem, including the removal and management of leachate, engineered capping, and increased monitoring, both on and off site. It is therefore extremely concerning that 2 years later, residents are once again reporting overwhelming odours. He called for a meeting to discuss the current situation and the longer-term management of smells from the site to prevent future reoccurrence. Mr. Glover added, residents in Sutton Courtney, Appleford, Didcot and the surrounding area should not repeatedly have to live with offensive smells from the site, nor should they have to keep their windows closed or avoid using their gardens when odours are particularly bad. The Environment Agency welcomed the MP's engagement and said an investigation in July identified the source of smells as FCC's composting facility rather than the landfill site. A spokesperson for the agency said, "We have seen a significant increase in odour reports in Sutton Courtney, and our investigations have found the source is the composting facility, not the landfill site. Our inspectors identified permit breaches in July, and we instructed FCC to take immediate action to suppress the smell. However, our monitoring has found unacceptable odours have continued. We have made it clear further action is necessary and are ready to use regulatory powers to ensure this is resolved for residents. We will work with all parties to secure a lasting solution."
Plans for a huge solar farm that would power more than 140,000 homes and outsize Botley West have been unveiled. Spread across 2,800 acres, Cern Solar Farm has been proposed for southern Oxfordshire. The site is earmarked for land south of Garford, east of Charney Bassett, north of West Henny, south of Goosey and northeast of Balking. It would cover a greater amount of Oxfordshire's land than Botley West's 2,471 acres of solar panels. Cern Solar Farm would dwarf Gatwick Airport and be only about 200 acres smaller than Heathrow, one of the busiest in the world. The project would have a grid connection offer of up to 500 megawatts, enough to power the equivalent of up to 143,000 homes annually. Electricity would be exported via underground cables to National Grid's proposed Farmore substation, roughly 12 kilometres northeast of the site. But the solar panels would be ground-mounted across three sites and 2,800 acres. Cern Solar Farm would feature a battery energy storage system to store surplus energy for use during peak demand. Classified as a nationally significant infrastructure project because capacity is over 100 megawatts, planning permission will be decided by the Secretary of State following examination by the Planning Inspectorate. No planning application has been submitted to the Planning Inspectorate rather than the Vale of the Whitehorse District Council yet. First, though, stakeholder workshops are due this month and next, followed by public consultation in early 2027, and a website has been set up by Cern Solar Farm Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of Tellus Energy UK. Arguing its case, the company said the move towards renewables and the transition away from fossil fuels is both an environmental and economic necessity. It added, despite significant growth, solar farms cover less than 0.1% of UK land today. A Lancaster University study found that even meeting future solar and decarbonisation goals would require just 0.22 to 0.39% of the UK's total land area. Meeting these targets for affordable, homegrown, renewable electricity will depend on projects like Cern Solar Farm being delivered across the country. Cern Solar Farm is one of a number of major solar farms pitched for Oxfordshire. Botley West, not yet decided, is about 300 acres smaller. the mostly West Oxfordshire solar farm is designed to generate 840 megawatts of electricity, enough to power around 330,000 homes. The Burcott Solar Farm in South Oxfordshire covers a comparatively small area of only about 140 acres.
Business group confused over parking rules. A row has broken out over a business group's stance on parking restrictions approved for Wantage. Oxfordshire County Council Cabinet Member for Transport Gareth Ebbs approved a variety of parking measures relating to the town. These include restricting parking to permit holders only past this point on Priory Road and Maryfield, and no waiting at any time restrictions on Grove Street, Marketplace, West End and Mill Street. In addition, there will be further consultation of an amended proposal to introduce no waiting at any time restrictions, double yellow lines in Locks Lane and Priory Road. Wantage Chamber of Commerce has consistently been against the measures, and prior to the recent council meeting, Martin Gillett, his co-chair, spoke out. He said, "Restricting town centre parking will immediately discourage footfall and damage independent businesses trying to recover and thrive the current economic climate." He added, "Instead of solving a problem, blocking off these parking spaces will simply push vehicles further out into surrounding residential streets, creating new congestion and parking friction elsewhere in Wantage." However, in the meeting about the proposals, Mr. Ebb seemed to suggest that the group was satisfied. He said the Chamber of Commerce is happy, which is good to hear. In addition, he brought up an objection from Wantage Town Council to the marketplace aspect of the scheme. "I don't really understand why they objected," said the Liberal Democrat politician, "and they don't really say why that is." The Town Council has been approached for comment. Responding to the suggestion that the Chamber of Commerce was happy with the proposals, its president, Richard Shepherd, was confused. He said, "We have consistently opposed measures that we believe will negatively impact retailers and businesses in Wantage Town Centre. Indeed, there was considerable noise and support from local businesses against the proposal of pedestrianisation. So I'm very surprised to see that this latest suggestion that the Chamber is supportive of further restrictions on parking and access." Since the meeting, Mr. Ebb said he has been aware of the Chamber's response, calling its submission from the documents unfortunate. The Lib Dem politician added, "The response received during the formal consultation did not relate to the introduction of residence parking, but focused on the proposal to include double yellow lines in West End of Marketplace. The Town Council had made a very similar comment as a formal response, and we address this in the report. In essence, the proposed waiting restrictions in the West End will enable effective enforcement of vehicles parking in the restricted area. Where no waiting restrictions are in place, users are still permitted to load and unload." He added he would be happy to meet the Chamber of Commerce to discuss concerns. Local County and District Councillor Jenny Hannaby, she said she was in favour 100%. She said there had been traffic issues in Priory Lane, which she hoped this would sort out, and that more generally the restrictions were needed because Wantage is a historic town with very narrow streets. The plans support the recently adopted Oxfordshire Strategic Plan to 2025 to 2028, which aims to create a greener, fairer and healthier county. The Director of Environment and Highways, Paul Firmer, said before the meeting, "This means encouraging people to use public transport, cycling and walking instead of driving."
New campaign is urging residents to waste less. A new campaign is encouraging people in the county to waste less, keep spaces clean, and create cleaner, better places. The month-long scheme, running throughout September, is being led by South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Councils. It aims to show how small changes at home can help protect the environment, reduce waste, and save money. Councillor Sue Cooper, Cabinet Member for Environment at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "Most of us want to reduce waste, but it's easy to think that making a difference means making huge changes. The truth is that small everyday actions really do add up. Whether it's repairing something instead of replacing it, borrowing an item you'll only use once, or planning meals to reduce food waste, everyone can play a part. This campaign is about making those choices simple, practical, and achievable for busy families. Both councils will share simple tips, local ideas, and easy swaps that families can try at home throughout the month. These will include borrowing instead of buying, making the most of leftovers, and choosing products with less packaging. The council also say that every item not thrown away helps conserve resources, cut waste, and keep neighbourhoods cleaner. The campaign will also spotlight local refill shops, libraries of things, community litter picking groups, and practical recycling advice. Councillor Robert Clegg, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, Climate Action and Nature Recovery at Vale of Whitehorse District Council, said, "Looking after the environment does not have to mean making big changes overnight. Often it's the small things we do every day that have the biggest impact. Whether it's remembering a reusable water bottle, checking the fridge before going shopping, or choosing to repair something instead of replacing it, every small action makes a difference. This campaign is about showing that reducing waste can be simple, affordable, and something the whole family can get involved in. The campaign launches with 5 easy actions. Buy only what you need. Reuse items whenever you can. Repair, donate, or share unwanted items. Choose products with less packaging. Save leftovers for another meal." People can follow the council's social media channels throughout September for tips, ideas, and inspiration. More information is available on the Waste Less, Clean Spaces, Better Places page on the South Oxfordshire website or Vale of Whitehorse website. Residents can also visit the council's waste team at upcoming town markets, including Abingdon on September the 7th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m, Didcot on September the 12th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m, Wantage on September the 16th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m, Wallingford on September the 25th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
School streets now operating in Didcot. A controversial scheme to make streets safer around schools has now been launched in Didcot, with some residents waiting for confirmation they are exempt from camera fines. The School Streets Scheme has been launched by Oxfordshire County Council in 3 areas across the county, including in Didcot. The scheme involves creating a car-free environment to make it easier and safer for children and their families to travel by walking, cycling, or scooting to school and leave the car at home. The scheme is automatic number plate recognition, enforced to discourage vehicles from entering roads around schools during school drop-off and pick-up times. Willowcroft Community Primary School and St. Berina School both in Mearland Road, are taking part in the scheme. The roads shut between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. are Abbott Road, The Croft, Glebe Road, Kynaston Road between Mearland and Ridgeway Road junctions, Mearland Road between Abbott and Kynaston Road junctions, Ridgemere and Ridgeway Roads. People living in the school street can register their cars to ensure that they are exempt from being fined. The fine for driving into a school street zone during its restricted operational hours in Oxfordshire is £70, reduced by half if paid within 2 weeks. One resident said, "Some people in Abbott Road have not received any notification about the new road scheme." Didcot West County Councillor Ian Snowden said last week that some residents had not yet received confirmation that they were exempt from being fined. He said, "Officers have confirmed that there is currently a backlog of more than 200 exemption applications across the latest phase of school streets, including Didcot. They are aiming to have outstanding applications processed by Friday. There has also been a delay installing the statutory signage, which officers currently expect to be completed by the end of this week. I have a meeting with the school streets team this afternoon and will raise the issues that have been brought to me by my residents." A county council spokesman said, "We are currently processing a large number of applications for the trial school street exemptions that came in over the bank holiday weekend. While we are getting through these applications quite quickly, we advise people to allow up to 10 working days for the exemption application to be processed. Vehicles entering the school streets that do not have a current exemption will receive a reminder letter rather than a fine the first time that they do so. Phase 3 of the school streets scheme started on September the 2nd. The latest schemes also cover Harriers Banbury Academy, Edith Morehouse Primary School and St Joseph's Catholic Primary School, both in Carterton, and Sandhills Community Primary School, Headington.
Drugs arrest after police chase through cricket match. A suspected drug dealer was arrested after a police chase through gardens and a cricket match, likened to something from an episode of comedy show Benny Hill. Thames Valley Police said a man has been arrested in Wantage for intent to supply after a police constable chased him across the town. The incident happened when the local neighbourhood police team was joined by two police dogs, Sprocker Spaniel Aggie and German Shepherd Onyx, and their handler on August the 30th. A spokesman said the trio patrolled several alleyways, putting their noses to work and making it very clear that Wantage and Grove neighbourhood police team were keeping an eye on things. Later that day, officers spotted a male suspected of dealing drugs. As he was detained, he decided he'd rather not be detained and promptly ran off. What followed was a police chase across gardens and straight through a local cricket match. The spokesperson added, "Honestly, all that was missing was the Benny Hill theme tune."
New Harwell sculptures help bring science to life. A new public artwork is bringing science out of the lab into the community. Fragments, a series of large-scale interactive sculptures, was unveiled at Harwell Campus in Oxfordshire on September the 3rd. Inspired by protein ligand crystal structures, the artwork celebrates scientific discovery and the ongoing work at Diamond Light Source, the UK's natural zinc rotron. Rebecca Duval, Head of Community at Harwell Campus, said, "At Harwell, we're committed to creating a campus that inspires curiosity as much as scientific discovery. Fragments celebrates the breakthroughs that have changed lives around the world while creating a space, a shared space where our community and visitors can engage with science in a new and meaningful way. Created by Design Studio Acrylic Size in collaboration with James Sandy, senior beamline scientist at Diamond Light Source, the artwork turns complex molecule science into accessible form. The sculptures stand more than 2 billion times larger than the actual chemical fragments they represent. Made from steel and painted in bright colours, the pieces are positioned around the campus cricket pitch and are intended for visitors to explore, sit on and interact with. The COVID Moonshot project served as a key inspiration for the installation.
Town's residents invited to shape garden plans. Residents are being invited to help shape the future of their garden town. People in Didcot and surrounding villages are invited to attend the Didcot Garden Town Community Update meeting at Harwell Village Hall on Wednesday, September the 30th from 5 until 7:30pm. The meeting will cover the latest projects and plans for Didcot and neighbouring areas. Councillor Anne-Marie Simpson, Cabinet Member for Planning Policy, including Garden Communities, at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "There's so much exciting work being planned for Didcot and the surrounding villages as part of the Didcot Garden Town programme, and this is a great opportunity to find out all about what's in the pipeline. From community artwork to new wayfinding signage, our Healthy Didcot project, and more. This work isn't about just one team, it's about our partners and the whole community, and we all need to work together to improve the facilities and focus on the future of the area." The meeting will include updates on plans for public art, new wayfinding signs, the Broadway Housing Development Project, and the district's leisure infrastructure projects. There will also be discussions on heat recovery and heatwave resilience support with the climate team. Attendees will have the chance to hear from council officers as well as representatives from partner organisations, including National Grid and Didcot Powerhouse.
Shoppers can help tackle fast fashion. Charity shops are helping to break the cycle of fast fashion. Oxfam is calling for donations in support of its annual Second Hand September campaign, which encourages people to donate and shop for pre-loved clothing. Staff and volunteers at the Oxfam shop in Abingdon, located on Sturt Street, are urging the community to donate any clothes they haven't worn in the past year. Michaela Wern, manager of the Abingdon shop, said, "Second-hand shopping has never been easier, but there's still something really nice about going into a charity shop and having a look through everything. You never quite know what you'll find, and finding something unexpected is often the best part." Ms. Wern also highlighted the environmental impact of second-hand shopping. She said, "Charity shops like ours help keep clothes in use for longer and play an important role in tackling fast fashion." Actor Richard E. Grant will be appearing on Oxfam posters in shops across Oxford this September. Rachel Cosgrove-Pierce, Oxfam's Head of Retail Operations, said, "Oxfam is the original second-hand retailer. We've been selling quality pre-loved fashion since 1947, and that success is down to people supporting our local shops." Ms. Cosgrove-Pierce also stressed the importance of the campaign.
NHS South East launches flu vaccination drive. Pregnant women and children are being encouraged to get their flu vaccines. The NHS South East has launched its annual flu vaccination programme to protect those most at risk before the colder months. Caroline Reid, Director of Commissioning at NHS South East, said, "Every year, flu causes significant illness and hospital admissions, particularly amongst young children and pregnant women, which is why we're encouraging people to come forward as soon as they're invited. We know that making vaccinations easy and convenient helps improve uptake, which is why local NHS teams across the South East continue to develop innovative ways of bringing the vaccine closer to communities where possible, whether that's through family centres, nurseries, schools, GP practices, pharmacies or maternity services. Last year, more than 3.3 million people across the South East received their flu vaccination, giving the region the second highest uptake nationally. We want to build on that success this winter and ensure that as many people as possible are protected before flu begins to circulate widely. Flu can lead to serious complications such as pneumonia and bronchitis, especially among young children, pregnant women, and those with underlying health conditions." Hello, this is Brian again with a notice board, followed by some more news items. Unfortunately, we have no birthdays to celebrate this week. Unfortunately, we do have 5 death notices to report in our area. Bethel, that's David, peacefully passed away on the 22nd of August 2026, aged 90 years. Eldon Stanley Edward MBE passed away on the 15th of August, aged 90. Horton Roderick passed away after a short illness on Tuesday, July the 21st, at the John Radcliffe Hospital, Oxford. Jarvis Ann died peacefully on the 12th of August, aged 89. Routledge Alice died peacefully on the 24th of August 2026, aged 81. All will be sadly missed by their family and friends. We now start the second half, with an item about the recent White Horse County show at Uffington.
Fly past and stunt displays entertain the show crowds. A country show pulled in the crowds over the bank holiday weekend. White Horse County Show near Uffington featured a programme of rural entertainment and attractions. The annual event offered a broad country show with a wide range of activities, including a fun dog show, vintage vehicles and live music. Held beneath the wider landscape of the White Horse Hill and close to the Ridgeway, the show combined rural and equestrian displays with heritage vehicles, stunt entertainment, live music, food, crafts and activities for children. The programme included the Stanage International Stunt Team, Heavy Horse and Equine displays, including all steps formation riding and a Battle of Britain Memorial flypast. Birds of prey and falconry demonstrations were held, where farm animal petting and children's rides or entertainment were available. Visitors were also able to enjoy have-a-go clay pigeon and target shooting, as well as craft, trade and retail village, which featured local artists and makers. A food village and a bar beer tent were also in attendance.
Band hit high note with wonderful session. Band members held a wonderful workshop day ahead of a showpiece festival. Wantage Silver Band brought together over 30 players to practice and to prepare for a busy season of autumn concerts. Set up over 50 years ago, the band's annual festival is set to take place on October the 9th, including 5 performances over one weekend. Following the showpiece event, the Silver Band has also been booked in to play Wallace and Gromit at the Beacon in Wantage and for Remembrance Day. A spokesperson said of the workshop, "It was a truly wonderful day, bringing together members of Wantage Band and 35 players from the organisation. This type of activity works on so many levels and benefits everyone involved. Here's to the next one."
Prize-winning flowers go on display. Abingdon Horticultural Society handed out prizes to members at its annual autumn show. The show, featuring plants, flowers and vegetables, took place at the North Court Centre in North Court Road on Saturday. Prizes were handed out to contestants who completed in various categories. Shirley Trafford was delighted to be a winner in the pot plant category. Also on display were fruit, cakes, jams and photography, and there was a plant stall and refreshments. Town Mayor Andrew Skinner visited the show to see the prize-winning displays. The Society also traditionally hosts an annual spring show in March featuring seasonal blooms and handicrafts. The North Court Centre is a community hall hosting various events and societies. Built in the early 1960s on land donated by the Tatham family, the centre operates as a registered charity and is run by trustees and a committee of representatives. The centre is available for hire and is host to a wide range of community activities which welcome new members.
Staff at Didcot Railway Centre have welcomed some special guests from Belgium. Last month, Giulia Fichette and Jan van Froxum from the Train World Museum in Brussels called in at the Steam Rail Heritage Centre near Didcot Parkway. During their tour of the centre, they stood on the footplate of locomotive number 6023, King Edward II. Frank Dumbleton, a volunteer at the centre, also a photographer, captured the pair's visit. He said they spent most of the day in the railway centre and thoroughly enjoyed themselves. They wore vintage Belgian Railways Guards caps. Train World could attract steam rail fans from Oxfordshire and other parts of the UK. It said in a statement, "In the stunning Art Nouveau station at Schaerbeek and the adjoining brand new museum complex is where you'll find Train World, the museum of the Belgian National Rail Company, SNCB. A unique, impressive collection takes you on a journey through the past, present and the future of Belgian Railways Limited. Yourself to be amazed in this interactive museum where you're allowed to touch almost everything."
South Oxfordshire and the Vale locals urged not to lose their vote. Residents are being urged to check their voter registration details to avoid losing their right to vote. More than 88,000 households across the South Oxfordshire and the Vale of Whitehorse are being contacted as part of the annual voter registration canvass, which ensures the electoral register is accurate and up to date. The process also helps identify anyone who may be at risk of missing out on future elections and encourages them to register before it's too late. Susan Baker, Deputy Electoral Registration Officer at South Oxfordshire and the Vale of Whitehorse District Councils, said the annual canvass helps to ensure that the electoral information we have for every address is accurate and up to date. To make sure you don't lose your say in any upcoming elections, simply follow the instructions that's sent to you. If someone responds to the email, it also saves public money, as we don't have to follow up by sending a letter to their property. Residents who receive a voter registration canvas email are being asked to reply as soon as possible to confirm or update their household information. Each household only needs to respond once, even if multiple people receive the email. Residents who have recently moved are especially encouraged to check their details.
Donkey crowned supreme champion. A donkey has been crowned supreme champion at a national competition after being named top British gelding for fifth year in a row. Island Farm Viscount is a 13-year-old gelding from Island Farm Donkey Sanctuary in Brightwell cum Sotwell near Wallingford. He took the top title at the 2026 Donkey Breed Society National Championship Show held on August the 22nd at Pickering Grange Equestrian Centre in Colville. He is the offspring of East Lodge Bryony, a donkey left to the sanctuary by the late Alex and Sue Horn. Mr. Horn was a respected figure in donkey showing and won numerous awards during his lifetime. Viscount has built an impressive record of his own with championship wins at the Mid-Somerset Show and the New Forest and Hampshire Show. He was named reserve champion at the Ellingham and Ringwood Show, placing just behind stablemate Pier Hill Magical Moments. Both donkeys qualified for the national finals, where Viscount claimed the senior gelding class and went on to be named British Champion Gelding for the fifth year in a row.
Burger van hygiene rating, back on the up. A burger van, which was told improvement is necessary by food hygiene inspectors, has been reinstated with a good score. Larman's Burger Van, otherwise known as the Butty Wagon, outside B&Q in Abingdon, near the Fair Acres Retail Park, was visited by Oxford City Council's environmental health team in February. Inspectors stated that improvement was necessary in the food hygiene rating of the store. This specifically focused on the management of food safety, which the business was told major improvement was necessary. This concerns the systems or checks in place to ensure that food sold or served is safe to eat, evidence that staff know about food safety. Meanwhile, the hygienic handling of food, including preparation, cooking, reheating, cooling and storage, was also handed an improvement necessary rating. And the cleanliness and condition of facilities and building, including having appropriate layout, ventilation, hand washing facilities, and pest control, was also told improvement was necessary. Now, following a re-inspection, the van has been reinstated with a good score, 4 out of 5. Environmental health officers revisited the store in July and deemed the van needing no improvement. For hygienic food handling, the inspectors found the standards generally satisfactory. Meanwhile, the cleanliness and condition of facilities and building was deemed very good, and the management of food safety good.
The guitar played by George Michael in the Faith music video is up for auction this autumn and is expected to fetch more than £100,000. The original 1940s Gretsch Synchromatic 160 guitar from the 1987 video will be the highlight of the auction Faith and Fame, a personal George Michael collection on Thursday, October the 29th. The video features Michael wearing a black leather jacket and blue jeans playing the guitar next to a jukebox. The Careless Whisper star and former frontman of the band Wham bought Mill Cottage in Goring, South Oxfordshire in 2001. The singer died on Christmas Day 2016, aged 53, and since then the house is now rented out as an Airbnb. The collection featuring the guitar was assembled by Michael's former personal assistant, Siobhan Bailey, amassed during her 20 years working for him. Bailey died in 2014, and her personal archive is being offered for auction by her widower. Other items include ring-bound tour itineraries from Michael's solo career and his time in the band Wham. There's also memorabilia from some of his most celebrated live performances, including a four-page running order from Live Aid in 1985, which features his duet with Elton John, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. For fans of his recordings, there are numerous presentation discs and gold records celebrating milestone sales, including a gold disc for 500,000 UK sales of Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and the estimate for that is £200 to £500. There's also an award for more than 1 million UK sales of Listen Without Prejudice Volume 1, and the estimate there is £200 to £500. And more than 1.8 million UK sales of Older, again an estimate of £200 to £500. There are rare cassettes and acetate singles, some marked not for sale, and a number of signed photographs, all personally inscribed to Bailey, which offer a glimpse into Michael's professional and personal life. The archive as a whole is expected to achieve more than £200,000. Guy Schuling, chairman of Sorders Auctioneers, said, "George Michael's work continues to resonate as powerfully today as it did during his heyday. The Faith guitar is the jewel in the crown. Together with the other items from Siobhan Bailey's collection, it tells a story of creativity, ambition and artistry on a global scale." The sale will offer avid fans around the globe the chance to own not just pieces of music history, but objects that capture the spirit and ambition of one of pop's greatest and most loved artists. The singer, born Georgios Kyriakos Paniatiou, had 13 number one singles in the UK. And again, George Michael died of heart disease on Christmas Day 2016 at the age of 53.
Cricket Club goes Caribbean for match. An Oxfordshire cricket club has gone Caribbean for a special match played against a touring side, Viscount CC. Wantage and Grove Cricket Club put on a special community day last Sunday, August the 30th, as they faced off against the amateur cricket side for the second season in a row. The description of the event said, "All are welcome as Carnival Cricket comes to Wantage, as touring side Viscount CC bring their West Indies atmosphere to OX12. An afternoon of cricket, live music, good food and excellent vibes awaits. On the day, Viscount didn't only serve up some Caribbean food, but the team also won by 8 wickets, with Wantage battling first and scoring 116 all out. Commenting on the game, a spokesman for Wantage said, "On our team, Keitsler Iqbal, top score was 55. Kisler combined with JC to get a run out of the opening batsman, and Rajan Sidhu took the other wicket."
King's Award given to Bunkfest volunteers. The King's Award for voluntary service was presented to Bunkfest volunteers in the Wallingford Festival's 22nd successful year of music and fun in the town. The latest instalment of the popular Free Music Festival was one of the biggest yet, and dedicated to the volunteers that make it happen. A voluntary committee organised the massive show each year, which this year involved more than 170 musical acts performing over 3 days, and more than 700 volunteers signed up for shifts. Announcing earlier this year the King's Award for Voluntary Service, which is the highest award given to voluntary groups in the UK and equivalent to an individual's MBE, was presented to the volunteers on Sunday afternoon at the weekend's festival. A statement from Bunkfest organisers said, "The Lord Lieutenant of Oxfordshire presents the King's Award for Voluntary Service to Bunkfest for providing a free, access for all, annual music festival in Wallingford, entirely run by volunteers." Equivalent to an MBE, KAVS is the highest award given to local voluntary groups in the UK, and they are awarded for life. This award is for every volunteer in every role since 2002. Bunkfest could not happen without you. Thank you. As well as celebrating its volunteers, the festival provided another packed schedule of music, dance and entertainment on the Cairncroft, the Bullcroft and at venues across the town.
Annual dog swim event to return. Paws and Tails will take over the pool for one final swim before the season ends. Abbey Meadow Outdoor Pool in Abingdon is preparing to wrap up its summer season with the return of its popular end-of-season dog swim. A spokesman for the pool said, "We can't believe it's already our final week at Abbey Meadows Outdoor Pool. A huge thank you to all of our amazing customers for making this season so special. And of course to our fantastic staff for all their hard work throughout the summer. There's less than 1 week left to come and enjoy a swim in our heated outdoor pool before we close for the season. Don't miss out. Get your final swims of 2026 booked. See you at the pool." The dog swim, held annually each September, allows dogs and their owners to enjoy a fun swim together before the pool is drained and cleaned for the year.
Former John Mason School students are set to mark their 60th anniversary reunion. Around 30 alumni who began their grammar school education in September 1966 will gather at the Nag's Head in Abingdon on Monday, September the 14th. The event comes 60 years after the group first entered the school, then known as John Mason High School, just 5 weeks after England's historic World Cup win at Wembley Stadium. This reunion, organised by John Walker, follows previous gatherings in April 1994, September 2005 and September 2007. Mr. Walker says many have answered the call to make contact, but there are still over 50 of the 129-strong group he has not yet managed to contact. The 1966 intake was initially divided into four tutor groups, led by Mr. Vignoles, Mrs. Duffield, Miss Utteridge, and Mrs. Lancefield. 58 students stayed on into the sixth form, benefiting from a new block and expanded facilities at the school. Mr. Walker, who started at the school in September 1967, was one of the many students whose father were in the RAF, usually based at RAF Abingdon. Some attendees would be travelling from Sweden, Wales, Scotland and Belgium. That's the last news item for this week. I thank the Herald Series and other sources for the items we've used, and thank John, Clive, Sue and the readers for their time. If you have any comments to make on this production or anything else, please phone the Dawn Secretary, Karen, on 07939 265 517. We hope you enjoyed listening to this newspaper, and remember, there are extra items at the end of this recording. Please put the memory stick back in the pouch and post back to us for next week. If you're returning more than one memory stick, please put them in the same pouch. Goodbye, keep safe and well, and thank you for listening.